Forgot we didn't pray for Erica. She'll be back.
She'll be back Wednesday night.
Yep. She's down in Pensacola visiting, and so just be much in prayer for her. She also will be traveling. And it was good to just stop in and visit with the ladies down there, and I discovered, I didn't realize that from time to time I hear Carrie's name on KNBBC because they do that. They actually have, you call in and you give a little spot announcement to promote KNBBC radio station, and it's a good mix of great music and preaching, and just snippets on the way. You had to hear from Brother Lester Roloff, who's gone home to be with the Lord, but from back in the day when he was in the ministry out of Corpus Christi, Texas, and so on down there. But I guess if you pay for that on the radio station there, they announce that so-and-so paid it. And I missed that, Carrie. I don't know how I missed all that, but I missed it. And then, but I was listening on Saturday, and there was a name I hadn't heard in a long time. And he came to Pioneer Valley in Massachusetts, and someone had actually paid and sponsored a day on the radio there in memory of Pastor Jerry Cleveland. And he got down here in 79. I got here in 79. But I knew Jerry for a number of years because we used to fellowship together with the NABF. And you hate to see it, but he died of cancer. And as a result of that, I'm not sure how the church is doing to this particular day. But he was a great, mild-mannered, meek kind of a preacher that knew how to preach the Word of God. And so continue to pray that God will raise up preachers that will come to New England. Because New England is not on the top list of people coming to. Maybe down in Connecticut and Massachusetts. But Vermont, really, I mean, it might as well be out in the boondock somewhere. Nobody seems to want to come to Vermont. And, of course, they like to come for the green trees, but they don't put the state of Vermont and all the beautiful landscape and all the stuff. They don't put that together with any sort of Christianity. So we've got a task ahead of us, amen. To let people know that there are God-fearing believers that are here in the state of Vermont. We may be few and far in between, but we can squeak out wouldn't it be great to have Proposition 5 just go down in flames because the state of Vermont stood up there and God's people really got busy. So you need to get busy in prayer about this as well. Well, we're looking at the topic here this morning, if I can get there, the successful Christian life. We're looking at self-assessment in this particular series here in our spiritual warfare, and you are in a spiritual warfare, and we can see it all around us. It's in the news every single day that America is getting further and further away from God. That should be quite obvious to us as well. Our key verse was 1 Peter 5:8. The simple idea there was that Satan is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour, and that means he's after you. He wants you. He wants your testimony. He wants your marriage. He wants your family life. He wants your personal life as well. And so today, in our personal spiritual analysis, we're going to be looking at the role of the church. Now, as we do that this morning, there's an important question here that we need to answer if we are to live a successful Christian life, and it is this. Am I allowing God to use His local church to change my life? Believe it or not, the local church is an integrally important part of the success of the Christian life. And it doesn't take very much to realize that when you see people who say, "No, I don't go to church anymore," it becomes pretty evident. The language can get a little bit salty, their attitude, their perspective on what's going on around them. They seem to be quite clueless about some of the things where America is heading. But the more affluent our society becomes, the less relevant the church seems to be. And in times of crisis, be they personal or national, it's amazing how quickly the local church becomes relevant under those kind of duresses, if you will. And so people who seldom attend church and have little to no time to be bothered with the local church, strangely, find it important enough to have the local church officiate their weddings. I see it as an opportunity to at least initially share the gospel, and I like to ask this question if they're in church. And a lot of times I'll ask them, and I'll say, "Where do you go to church?" And because you wonder why are they seeking out this church, why are they seeking out me to do it, and one thing and another. And a lot of times they'll simply say, "Well, we don't really have a church." And I say, "Well, where did you go to church?" "Well, we really don't go to church." And so I would ask them. I said, "Seeing that church has been irrelevant up to this point in your life, why is it so important for you to be married in a church? Is it somehow going to make the marriage more successful?" No. The success of a marriage is determined by your walking relationship with the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And most people who don't go to church on a regular basis have no relationship with Christ whatsoever. Most. Some are just backslidden and don't. But when there is a national tragedy, people tend to see an immediate need for the local church in their life. Amen? As we witnessed when the Twin Towers were hit by terrorists, people all of a sudden, churches were full that weekend. It was absolutely amazing. Churches were filled. People were coming out of the woodwork. Man, we better get to church. Got to go to church. But boy, was that short-lived. The event wasn't meant to turn people from their sin. It was a weakening shot that simply says, I'm in control. And if you're not going to turn to me, then you have no protection. And he's not kidding about that when it comes to that in the Bible. So it was short-lived, and life went back to the way it was for most people. Not bothering to go to church, going to the beach, going here, going there, going doing this. After all, Sunday's a day of rest, so we're going to rest. Well, we're supposed to rest in the Lord on Sunday when it comes to that. But the problem isn't how the world sees the local church. Rather, it is how the redeemed of the Lord see the relationship of Christ to the local church. A local church without Christ is worthless. Amen? What's the point? If you're not going to preach the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're not going to preach walking and living the Christian life, then what's the point of the church being? It just becomes a social gathering. People come together and talk about each other, and then they talk about each other when they walk away from each other, and so on. Things that they ought not to be doing, but nonetheless, you come to church because you want to hear from the Lord. You want to hear from the Scriptures. You want the Holy Spirit of God to speak to your heart. It may have been a really rough week that you had out there, and it's a very trying week out there. Marital problems, or work problems, or health problems, or financial issues, and you just want to be able to come into the house of the Lord, and you got to breathe and relax for a little bit. Amen. Which you don't get there in the world unless you're taking Valium or booze or drugs or something of that nature there, which doesn't help the problem. So perhaps it's because of the allure of the world or the failure to read their Bible and to see the high degree of importance that God the Father and the Lord places on the local church. Now, I think some people have this idea that the local church was the idea of man. It wasn't. It was God. God originated it. God empowered it to do a particular job. And so when you turn away from the church, you're simply saying, I don't need you, God. I don't need you in my life. I don't need to be reminded. I don't need to be challenged. I don't need to be changed. And so the local church was never meant to be static, but a vibrant, living organism under the absolute authority of Jesus Christ. In the Scripture, we find a great deal of information from God's perspective concerning the function and the place of the local church in the lives of the redeemed of the Lord. We can't cover everything, but we can deal with some of the important purposes and the function of the church this morning as we get ready. So, Father, guide and direct as we look to get today to the message that you have for us. And, Lord, that indeed you would challenge our hearts and change our hearts. Lord, there is not a single one of us, regardless of how long we have been saved, that we don't have room for improvement. We certainly do. Lord, there's things to know and there's things to learn. And Lord, it just seems like it's line upon line and precept upon precept. We learn a little here, we learn a little bit there. And then, Lord, it all begins to come together and we learn something new and we build on that and we continue. Lord, it's an educational process that's meant to be applied to our daily living. And so, Lord, today, whether it's to salvation or to rededication, Lord, won't you have your perfect will and your perfect way? Lord, you know who is saved and who is not saved. And so, Lord, we pray today that the Spirit will speak, not man, but the Word of God and the Spirit will speak to bring about the changes that are so important and so necessary to the relationship of the individual to yourself and yourself to them. And Father, we'll give you the praise for the work you're about to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let me get going here somewhere. Question I'm going to ask you this morning is, am I allowing God to use His local church to change my life? Now, the church can't do it in and of itself. You've got to have the Bible. Now, we dealt with that last week in the topic of the last week's message. Am I reading my Bible as I ought to be reading my Bible? But am I allowing God to use His local church to change my life? And the church does play an important role in the change in the spiritual growth of an individual. I find that the typical individual or individuals who do not go to church, that number one, they do not support the local church with offerings, and many are closing their doors due to the apathy of the professing believers that are there. And it's a shame because we have missions. We have missionaries come through, and we'd love to take those missionaries on for support and be able to send them out to the mission field. And we have a pretty good sized missionary family for a small church our size here, but we'd love to do more. Amen. And God has blessed us in so many wonderful ways here. But listen, if you're a child of God, I don't know of too many people who don't attend church that don't get involved in a missions program and to be able to keep missionaries going there. So secondly, they typically do not support world evangelism through missions. So when they avoid regular attendance, their spiritual gift or gifts, and we're not talking about money there, but the day that you got saved, God gave you a spiritual gift. How many of you knew that? How many of you knew the day that you got saved, God gave you a spiritual gift? Sometimes he gives gifts, more than one. And he didn't mean for that gift to sit at home with you. And you can't send it without you bringing it. Amen. You say, well, I wouldn't know what to do with it. You know what? Allow God to guide you and to direct you in that gift and how it gets used within the local church. But when they avoid regular attendance, their spiritual gift or gifts are absent as well. And you say, well, preacher, why is this a problem? Well, when we are saved, the Holy Spirit of God gives to us a spiritual gift or gifts with which to use and to exercise for the cause of Christ's kingdom and other believers. So the gifts are not just meant for us to be to give us a certain amount of pridefulness in our own lives, but with humility of heart, use that for the benefit of others along the way. And so God uses the local church to guide its members, and this requires a staff, amen? It requires a help. Most churches have a rather large voluntary staff, but you still have to have paid employees if you really want to have them available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so God is using the local church to put a team together to physically and financially reach it to their community and around the world with the gospel. So it's not only about you and I here in the city of Essex Junction, but it's to be able to reach the world. And we have missionaries, not in as many countries as we'd like to have them, because again, that takes money to support them along the way. Amen. It's amazing how some congregants want the preacher to live by faith. They don't live by faith, and they want their missionaries to live by faith. And the missionaries do go by faith because they're trusting the churches to remain faithful to the things of God, so that while they're over there teaching and building clinics, some of them are building clinics over there to help the poor people in their communities. They're building Christian schools. They're building orphanages to take in kids off the streets. And they're building even Bible colleges over there now. They're not making anything more than what the mission board sets for them. So it's not like they're going out there to make a big name for themselves and to make lots and lots of money, because they don't. Everything is controlled by the mission board. But these are men and women who have gone over there, and they've started clinics, radio stations to be able to reach even beyond their boundaries. So when a church enters into support of a missionary, and that missionary is on the field up there, and they have a radio station, they have an orphanage, and they have church, and then they have clinics and things of that nature there, that's you and I, along with other churches, reaching out into the community because we're supporting them, and they're getting the gospel of Jesus Christ out there. But you know what? If you're not here, that doesn't take place. So there's typically a volunteer staff. If one is not there, staffing becomes difficult. However, there is more often than not the need for a paid staff to be able to handle certain things that get handled, and requires them to give up their time to do just that. And so we see here that God is using the local church. Did I get that right? Yeah, God is using the local church to put a team together. Now, we're a team. We're not just a family, we're a team, amen? And you know how that is. If you have one member on that team that's a slacker, you're not going to do very well. For those of you who are sports-oriented, if you play sports, whether in high school or beyond high school or college and so on there, you know that it doesn't take much. If you have one bad team member, it can ruin everything. Again, especially if they're having a bad day. The quarterback's having a bad day, and he's not hitting the receivers down the field, and they're not running the ball very well because maybe a couple of other guys on the team are having a bad day. Things are not going to bode well for them. It's the same thing within the church. This is a family. Not only are we a family, but we're a team. And we work together as a team. I thank God for all the years that I've been here. This has been a church that has been a good team, working together on various projects that we get involved in. So the idea is that to physically and to financially reach out into our community. Get myself back on track here. I find that the typical individuals who do not go to church are not a part of a team. They don't feel like they're team players, and everybody ought to be involved in some way. You can always be a prayer warrior, amen. I loved back in the day when Caroline, trying to think what the last name, Church, yeah, Mrs. Church, Caroline Carey Church. I got the due name by Caroline Church, and when she had a stroke, she said, I really can't get out to church anymore. She said, but Pastor, I want you to know that 11 o'clock I'm in this chair and I'm praying. I'm praying for the services all the time. And I had several others who do the same thing. Vernon McLaughlin would do the same thing. He had let us know when he and Fern couldn't make it down. He said, I want you to know, preacher, I'm praying for you on a regular basis there. And so I always knew that when I stepped in the pulpit, I had some prayer warriors behind in the preparation as well as the presentation of the messages along the way. And so now this takes as many believers as possible to accomplish this great task. This is not a one-man show. When a church, God did not give me a singing voice. God did not give me the ability to read music. He didn't give me the ability to play an instrument. I could have, but I just, too many trees to climb, too many fish to catch. Wanted to do all those kind of things there. Now you look back and say, well, those things, I cut it down, I shut it down, I didn't do. So God sends others, but that's why it's important to be a teamwork. I see in some churches where preachers or evangelists, they don't really need anybody else, and sometimes it shows they don't need anybody else. And so you have a team that really puts all these things together. And so it takes as many believers as possible to accomplish this great task. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18 through 20, we're right there, 28. We have the Great Commission there, if you will. And this is to every believer. This is not about the preacher, and it's not only to the missionaries. It's about our community as well. But Matthew chapter 28, looking in verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, he's already been crucified. He's been buried. He's been resurrected. And he's now having a final meeting before he ascends into heaven. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore what? And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now, teaching is first. That means taking the gospel. Taking the gospel to individuals, I don't care whether it's a waiter or a waitress or whether it's somebody you meet on the street, you end up in a conversation, you hand them a tract, you hand them this, whatever it is that you engage them in a conversation, and then you see if the door is open for the sharing of the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. But the idea, the word teaching there is in the imperative. You've got to love the word. It's in the imperative. It's important. If we're going to reach the world, we've got to get out there and teach the world. Our lifestyle needs to be one that shows that we are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. But the heart of the message is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. If we look over very quickly into 1 Corinthians. So it isn't that you have to know the Bible from one end of this cover to the other end of this cover. The more you know, the better it is for you as an individual. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul, on his missionary journeys, he presented a threefold gospel. He says here in the beginning of verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And then he lists all the witnesses to his resurrection, who saw that he was indeed crucified and that he had been buried. And now they're witnessing to the fact that he had been seen alive after his resurrection. So baptism basically, biblically rather, can only follow after a sincere profession of faith. And it doesn't make you any less saved, doesn't make you any more saved. Baptism is a decision that I want the world to know that I have been saved and I am choosing now to follow the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because I'm identifying with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But the thief on the cross didn't get brought down and baptized because he made a profession of faith in Christ. He died that day on the cross, and Christ said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. But I believe it is important for a Christian to be baptized. And that, I believe, is also important for a child of God to be immersed, because that's what the word means, to be immersed in the teachings of the Word of God once you are saved. But Acts chapter 8, if you go just turn back here very quickly, God has made, the Holy Spirit, I should say, has given to us a perfect example of what we're talking about here in chapter 8 and verse 26. And again, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority unto Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all the treasures and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scriptures which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth. You see, Philip is about to teach the Ethiopian eunuch about the scriptures that he read. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Folks, only message that we need to preach when we're sharing the gospel is to preach Jesus. There's no other name under heaven whereby man must be saved. But he goes and says in verse 36, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, and this is the question he asked him, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. Without a profession of faith, baptism, I don't want to say that, baptism does not save an individual. He wanted to be baptized because he had been saved. He wanted to identify with the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm sure he went back to his job back there in Ethiopia. And there he probably served as a completely different man. He went to Jerusalem one way and he came back another. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He not only was saved, he announced how he was saved. Because he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Well, as a professing believer in Christ, you are either engaged in getting the gospel out to the world, or you are a spiritual slacker. I don't know how else you'd put it. If you're not concerned about the unsaved getting saved, or the unsaved hearing the gospel, whether you give them a tract, or whether you share the gospel with them along the way, then we become slackers. And that's not what God wants us to be, and that's not what you're going to want to be when you stand before Christ and to be in the seat of believers. But one would be a spiritual slacker, wasting our spiritual gift and neglecting our responsibility to God and the lost, as well as those who must carry your load. Someone says, if you're not going to be there, someone else has to do your job. If you're not going to be there, then God has to bring someone else into the picture. But you're the one who misses out on all the blessings in the process. So, let me get ahead of there. Get ahead of myself again. So God is putting a team together. You've seen that. Matthew 28:18-20. We are to reach out to the world. I can't go around the world. I did go as far. The farthest I've ever been from home is Jerusalem. Jordan. I was in Jordan over there. When it talks about a desert place, he was not kidding. It was a desert place where we were at that particular point in time. But we have a responsibility to worldwide missions beyond ourselves, which means we need to give. They can't go unless we send them, and they can't go unless they're supported. And so 1 Corinthians 15:1-3, the heart of the gospel message is the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. Those are the three most important issues when we're sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why Christ died. This is why he was buried and why he was resurrected. And we can make application to our lives accordingly. In Acts 8:26, again, it's the heart of the gospel there, if you will. And so we are the light on the hill in Psalm 43. Now, Psalm 43 and verse 3 says, O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me unto the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. See, when you get up in the morning on a Sunday morning, you're going to go to church. You either give the people an idea that, oh, they must be going to the beach today. Or they must be going golfing today. Or they must be going fishing today. Surely they're not going to go to church. But we get out of the house and we look a little bit different than we did Monday through Saturday, and we kind of put on some spiffy clothes and we got our Bibles under our arms and we're heading out to church. People get put two and two together eventually, and they get the idea that we're going to church. And so you might have an occasion. Someone say, I can remember this back when my youngest son, Rick, he was playing basketball up in the middle school there in Essex Center. And I told him, I said, son, you can go out and play basketball, but and you go to practice, but at 6:30 we'll leave and we're going to go to church and you'll be a part of the youth group and so on. And so after about a month of this, the coach finally asked Rick and says, so your father and you, where do you go at 6:30? He said, we go to church. He said, oh, that's great. I don't know if the coach ever made any difference to him or not, but at least he knew that church was important to somebody as a result of that, and so on. But, oh, send out thy light. We send it out by supporting missionaries. We send out the light from here. We send it out when we go out of this church on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We go out of this church here, and we become a light to the world around us and to those who God brings in our lives. And so we have that great responsibility. So we ought to be that light on the hill. And so on. So number two, we're looking at here, the local church is a boot camp for preparing believers to fight Satan, sin, and our flesh. You know, wouldn't it be stupid for us to say, okay, you know what, let's send one man to Russia to fight for America. Would you really do that? He said, that would be absolute stupidity. Well, how about you and I getting this idea down pat here, that the church sends out. Now, I preach a Sunday morning message, I preach a Sunday night message, and teach a Sunday school class, and preach Wednesday night. And the idea is that you take that information and you go out into the world with that information. Amen? First of all, you inculcate it to yourselves, and then once it's kind of percolated in the air and God gets a hold of your heart, then you go out into the world and you share these truths. So, you know, soul winning is not really that difficult. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't even have to have a college degree to go out there and to share the gospel. If you know how you get saved by coming to a saving faith in the person of Jesus Christ, that's what you share. Amen? But hopefully you live it so that when you share it, it makes a difference in someone's life. So the Bible is God's infallibly preserved word. And as we saw last week, one of the four categories, we looked at doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction. And the idea of instruction is to be carried out in a great detail is by the local church. There's instruction that is given here, whether it is myself or an evangelist or a Sunday school teacher, Steve working with the teens and so on, and AJ and Vanya working with them on Wednesday night as well. So the idea is that we are to be a teaching ministry as well as a preaching ministry. There needs to be a balance here. So the church, it has the responsibility of teaching. And then so God has charged the church, the local church, with the responsibility of teaching His Word and carrying out worldwide evangelism and preparing His people for these tasks. Now, how many of you don't want to see souls get saved? How many of you don't want to see people overseas get saved? Well, if you're not contributing to keep these people on that foreign mission field, how are they going to get saved? How are they going to even go? The gospel's not out there. So, number one, training the redeemed of the Lord, that is the equipping us for this particular work that God has called us to do. Secondly, it's to edify the body of Christ. It's also to mature the saints, that is to mature the believers. You're not going to mature very readily, very quickly if you don't make church a part of your life like you do making the Bible. Now, hopefully that you read the Bible more than the times you attend church anyway. But so the church, along with the Bible, is indispensable to this process of spiritual growth and reaching the world with the gospel. So Ephesians, we're going to turn there very quickly here, and we're going to see exactly what the Word of God has to say about this and see if you are in obedience with the Lord or not. So we begin there in chapter 4 and verse 11. It says, and he, meaning Christ, gave some, and he's talking about to the body of Christ, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. God has gifted certain individuals to be able to accomplish these particular things. Now, and he says, verse 12, the purpose for that is for the perfecting of the saints. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to cross every T and dot every I perfectly, but it means the idea of teleos there is the idea of maturing. Growing. You ought to be not a static Christian. You ought to be a constantly growing believer. You should know more tomorrow than you do today. You should know more today than you did tomorrow. Amen? It should be a pattern of constantly spiritual growth for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, the ministry of the Holy Spirit is not only to teach us and guide us, but it's to conform us to the image of Christ. And that can't happen. If you're not saved, then the Holy Spirit can't conform you to the image of Christ. Try as you will, you'll never make it. Well, once you get saved and you surrender and yield to the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit of God, He is going to conform you in your attitudes and your actions and your reactions and how you deal with things in life to be dealing with those things more as Christ would deal with those things. And so they become an image of Christ. So the church, alongside with the Bible, is indispensable to this process of training up believers. I use the Word of God. Now, there are missalettes for Christianettes who want to live in sin with no regrets. But if you want to live the life that God's called you to live, it involves the Word of God. You need to bring it to church. You need to open up at least once during the daytime and read something out of it and pray over it and get something from it, if you would. And so, the net worth... Did I get it up there? Okay, I don't think I put it up there. Yeah. Okay, so we know this because of what God has written in Ephesians. And then the Bible and the church are necessary to spiritual growth. Thirdly, this morning we look at the local church is a spiritual hospital as well. I'll never forget the first time I heard that back in Bible college, and Dr. Wallace was preaching and sharing that particular day. And he was saying that the church is a spiritual hospital. Well, what's that all about? Well, the end of that would be this, to bind up our wounds. Have you ever had a really rough week? And you didn't want to get up Sunday morning and go to church. Man, it was a rough week. Man, I got beat up all over the place here. And I beat up emotionally, or I got beat up this way, and I got beat up that way. And I just don't have to go to church today. Well, we exist for that purpose when Christians stumble and falter. You know, none of us are going to be so perfect this side of the rapture that we're not going to make poor decisions and make poor choices. We're going to stumble and we're going to falter along the way. Because we're not either listening to the Holy Spirit of God, we're not following the Word of God, or we're just allowing our spiritual life to slip by the wayside. But it's to bind up the wounds. Now, Isaiah, and that's a very important verse there back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61 and verse 6. In Isaiah 61 and verse 6, he says, "But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles." And then that's not where I wanted to be. Where am I going? Oh, I want to be. Okay, gang, where I did it, didn't I? That's not what I'm looking for. The verse that I am looking for is to bind up the wounds. I'm going to blame it on the computer. I'll get that back with you on that one. But it actually has to do with the fact is that God will bind up the wounds of the enemy. He will bind up the wounds of you and me. And you can't help but think of the good Samaritan, who was a Samaritan, hated by the Jews. The Jews hated the Samaritans hated the Jew, and yet there was this Jew that had been beat up by robbers, left alone on the wayside. Priest walked by, did nothing. Sadducee walked by, did nothing. The Samaritan walks by, they went over and had compassion on the guy, bound up his wounds, and put him in a hotel, I guess is what you call it, but paid for additional expenses if there was anything else that was needed along the way there. God used that Samaritan to bind up the wounds of this individual. But, you know, we have emotional wounds. People say things, people do things, whether it's in our marriage, whether it's in our friendships, or whatever it might be. You know, sometimes it's just nice to come into the house of the Lord knowing that, listen, you matter. You matter to God, you matter to your brothers and sisters in the Lord, and it's important for us to always understand that. So life is not always fair, amen? Life is not always fair, life is not always easy, life is not always just. We hear so much about that today, and this is what the woke crowd out there is trying. The woke crowd is trying to do what only God can really do. And there's nothing more than a bandage, and it's not even a good bandage to begin with. So without a local church, as a redeemed of the Lord, we need a spiritual place to recover. We need a spiritual place to heal. We need a spiritual place to recharge and get ready to go out into the world for the next week. So without a local church, where does one go for healing? Without a local church, where does one go for help? Well, along with the home, the local church is a harbor from the storms of life. It's a place where you know that you're loved. It's a place where you should know that you are loved, a place that you are cared for. So we are told that in the latter days, things would get worse, and indeed they are. while they have been difficult, they have been difficult times in the past, there is a sense that what we are seeing take place around us, well, they have a different air than in the past. When you've been living for more than 3/4 of a century, this is a different America. And I wish I could tell you it's making forward progress. It's not making forward progress. It's going backwards. And so this does have a different air. Things that are happening are giving us literally an insight as to things that are going to take place in the tribulation time period. So if you're not saved and you don't want to go through the tribulation, the best thing to do is get saved. Amen. While there have been difficult times in the past, it is a different taste, a sense today. So of late we have seen things that are a paradigm of the tribulation or of tribulation events to come. And so this is not the time to slack off from our responsibility to God's institutions, the family especially. The family is paramount. The local church can never be any stronger than what the church is. Or the church cannot be any stronger than what the family is. Backwards, I'm sorry. The church will never be any stronger than the families. And the weakest link is going to be the weakest link in the church. Literally. And so you develop a godly home so that you can bring that maturity into the local church and use it in a way that would be a blessing to others along the way. And so, again, it's not a time to slack off from our responsibilities to God or family institutions. In Hebrews chapter 10, I think you've heard me say this one enough as well, Hebrews chapter 10, about forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, but we oftentimes do not deal with that first verse, verse 23. So, chapter 10, verse 23. I got to quit. And it simply says there, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful to that promise. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. This is what transpires in the local church. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So he's saying, not less, but what? More. Not less, but more. Because as things get worse, we're going to have to be continually reminded by being in the assembly of believers. So the local church is to be a place where the redeemed of the Lord can go and know that they are loved and cared about and cared for. Psalm 43 and verse 5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Not all our problems are going to get solved. And God is going to be the help. Amen? He's going to be the help of our countenance. He's the one who's going to give you a smile no matter how tough it gets. He's the one who's going to give you the peace of mind regardless of the circumstances that you find yourself in. Things can look pretty much doom and gloom, but you can still smile because God is the health of your countenance. Not more money, not a bigger job, not name titles, whatever it might be. God is to be the health of your countenance. Fixated on God is an important aspect. Amen? Being fixated on God. So never forget, Jesus established the church. He is the head. To reject the necessity of the local church in our lives is to call into question the wisdom of Christ. He doesn't make mistakes. And I believe I can say this with all sincerity, that if God did not institute the church, man would never have done it. Because it's not in the heart of man, especially fallen man, to do just that. But Christ, in his wisdom, infinite wisdom, saw the need for a local church. And he encouraged believers to gather together. The Holy Spirit of God also wants us to know that the more obvious it is that the days are getting close to Christ coming for his church, the more relentless Satan is going to be, the more that we need our church family. Not less, but more. This is not the time to drop out, nor is it the time to cut out church services. It is time to be faithful to the Lord and his institutions. It's time to be faithful. When the going gets tough, the tough get going. Let the Lord make you tough. We need to be toughened up. A lot of us need to be toughened up. Amen? Well, Father, we thank you for this time we can be together. And Lord, just an inkling of the importance of the local church in our lives. And Lord, it's not one of those things that we can just dismiss lightly and see no relevancy to it. And Lord, the reason we don't see any relevancy to it is because we don't understand it. Lord, we don't understand that all that you have stated in the scriptures for the church to be and the missions and the outreach of the church. Lord, the need to be able to reach out beyond our borders to help the poor. Lord, to help individuals who can't pay their electric bills and can't keep their heat on. And Lord, the local church can step up and share the gospel with these individuals and let them know how much, Lord, you love them and that you've made it possible for us to be able to interact with them, whether it's clothing or food or otherwise. But Lord, also we think of our missionaries that are around the world today, and Lord, they're busy sharing the gospel. They're building orphanages to bring in the children that are wandering the streets with no food and hardly any clothing whatsoever, and Lord, no love. And yet these missionaries and their staff, Lord, they're doing just that. And Lord, it is the local church who keeps these missionaries on the field. So, Lord, be with our missionaries and the churches that support them, that, Lord, we'll continue to always have that as a priority in our lives, is to make sure that we have the finances available so that we can keep these missionaries on the field and that the gospel can have free course and to see lives changed. Lord, we've seen men get saved and go back to their villages and start little churches in their villages, and souls are being saved. Lord, we're looking at the possibility of a Christian school right in the center of Baghdad for Christian education, and, Lord, a radio station that reaches many of the Muslim nations over there, and beginning building churches and all these things that are going on in South America, Central America, here in the States, and in Africa, and in Asia Minor, and in those places, Lord. And so, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity and this blessing. But Lord, help us to take and understand the relevancy of the local church and its purpose and the focus it should have in our lives as well. And Father, this is where the gospel is given. It's where people are reminded to live the Christian life, to walk the Christian walk. Lord, not to talk it, but to just walk it and then talk it. And then also, Lord, to be able to share the gospel with others who may not know Christ. And so, Father, as we close off this invitation time, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed as Diane quietly plays the piano. And as a child of God, I don't know, maybe you haven't seen the relevancy of the church at home or here. And you'd say, you know what, preacher, I've missed the boat on this one here. My life has been established by my agendas, and church hasn't been among the agenda. It was one of those things when I have time, if I have time, or you know, I have nothing better to do. That's not the point, and that's not the purpose of the church. And so, preacher, would you pray for me in closing that I would have this mindset that this is what I'm supposed to be doing because it's what God wants me to do. And it may say this morning, preacher, I don't even know if I've got a home in heaven. Well, that's an invitation church gives. It gives you an opportunity to make that choice, that decision to receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you walk out of here lost, that's your choice. God's going to honor it. But it still is your choice to accept Him or reject Him. And the alternative of rejection is eternity in hell. Well, the loving God wouldn't do that. He warned you. He gave His only begotten Son so that you could have life. Now the ball's in your court. You have to make a decision whether you're going to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior or not. Head bowed and eyes closed. At home, the same at home, you do not know Christ, but you'd like to have a clearer understanding. You'd say, preacher, pray for me this morning. Preacher, pray for me. Well, Father, we thank you for this time that we can be together. And Lord, how great and gracious you are. Lord, I look back on the age of 13 being raised in a predominantly Christian environment. And it wasn't until the age of 13 I understood that I was lost and I needed to receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. And even with backslidden condition, Lord, you are more than gracious. But Lord, for others today that do not know you, may this be the day that they come to know you. And Lord, may this be the day that we as believers get serious about all the things that you desire for us and all the things you'd have. Lord, church teaching others is imperative, whether we teach it in our homes or whether we teach it in our churches or whether we teach it on the mission field. It's important that we do that. And so, Lord, you guide and you direct us. Give us the wisdom that we need. And Father, we give you the praise and the honor and the glory for the work that you are doing and continue to do. And now dismiss us with thy blessings, we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And all God's people said. So listen, don't forget, downstairs there's some quilts that you want to look at. I don't know. I can't tell you that they're for sale. And but take a look at them and see what the ladies have done.